Thank you, Renee, for that piece. It certainly tied into John's message today. It was very, very appropriate. And John, you mentioned about the thinness in the crowd here today. I was thinking about the same thing pertaining to myself, but no, I think it's you. Well, on the Sabbath, Gary Labonte and I, either touch base in the morning or the night before, and just to reassure that we're all going to get together at a specific time to come on over here. And when he called me this morning, he says, I called over here and I was going to try to get the service at 2 o'clock because I know you need more time. I said, forget it, Gary. I need a whole lot more time than that. Well, several days ago, or maybe it was last week sometime, whatever, Mr. Looker asked me to step and do the sermon today. You know, he's the Northwest regional pastor, and from time to time, he has to get around to the various congregations in his area. And it's always a treat for those that are out there someplace that, you know, when he comes, it's a treat for them. So with Steve and Shannon, Kuhn being over in Squim, and Warren and Hazel Larson are down in Arizona, relaxing, I get to come out of mothballs for a day. So you know, I was going to decline, but I quickly backed off when I came to realize that the subject I chose is something that I need to wrap my head around. Considering the trial that my wife and I are presently going through, I sometimes feel like I'm sinking, and Joe as well. With me, it's the old stuff from my childhood that's floating around in my subconscious, and it affects my my trust in God. And putting this message together has been probably the most difficult one, since my mind lately seems to be bouncing all over the place like a ball in a pinball machine. Now, it's possible that some of you have felt the same frustration that I've had these past 4.5 years. You know, one of the frustrating things about our spiritual walk can be that God is at times very, very quiet. And there are some of you I know that after pouring your heart out to God time and again would like some kind of a response. Anything at all, and yet silence. Now, during painful circumstances when I need him the most, I am aware of his silence. And there have been times during stressful circumstances or in the life of someone I love, in this case, it's my wife, Jo, who very recently learned that she has stage 4 melanoma cancer. Now, it really gets to me, just as she was beginning to show signs of coming up out of the clinical depression that she has had for 4.5 years, only to discover that now she has cancer. And again, anything comforting from Father would be most welcome. Now, she has had, I don't know, about 8 radiation treatments, but we've stopped that. It just makes her sick. And we're going to hopefully bring her home next week, and hospice will come in and help us. And really, their help will be greatly appreciated, because it's been quite a chore for my kids and I to, do all the things that are necessary. Now, I have to say, now, hospice generally suggests finality. And that doesn't mean that we have given up. No, not at all. Because when considering physical or spiritual problems, Giving up is never an option. We've searched, my kids and I have searched other healing measures, and we've come across some information from this authority, I guess, in health, that has a holistic cleansing process that has been reported as being very successful in treating cancers of this type. And so when we get Joe home, she'll be off of medication and off of the radiation, and then we're going to go to town. It's a 21-day process. It's very complicated, and I have to keep my mind focused on that this is going to do it for her. It'll bring her up out of the cancer. And there were, I think, a number of case histories in the book. On one book, it was 100 histories. And anyway, these histories show that even when a person is terminal, that has gone through this process, that they have been healed of cancer. We don't have any options. We have to go this way. We've been praying and praying and praying, but so far it's been pretty quiet. So cancer or physical ailments are obviously not the only source of pain and anxiety. The truth is that all of us faces afflictions from various forms and at different times. And I remember one bumper sticker that I've seen lately that seems to be appropriate. It says, "Life sucks." And I've been very agreeing with that. So illness and hard times and the accompanying physical and emotional pain come in many forms. You know, there's, over the years, I've seen troubled marriages and the heartache that brings on. The anxiety of a family breadwinner who has just lost his or her job. Others experience the frustration of having hopes and dreams go down the drain. And on and on and on it goes. There's trials of every description. And through all of these, when a word from God would be comforting, it seems awfully quiet sometimes. Now, I can look back over the years regarding some counseling situations that have actually left me dumbfounded. There are circumstances that even come up today that seem to go way beyond the bounds of what God's Word reveals. And when a word from God would have been so timely to encourage and help those involved, silence. And so we sigh and we cry and we ask God, "Are you paying attention?" Now, I have joked somewhat with some of the brethren regarding God's long silence and mentioned that we finally make the kingdom and we're going to meet our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We can ask of him, "Boy, have you got a lot of explaining to do." And of course, I'm being facetious. At various stages throughout my life, I have witnessed many tragic circumstances. Children killed and maimed, people starving and dying, close friends becoming seriously ill, or even in my generation of friends, we're at a stage now where we are slowly disappearing, and it's painful. But there are so much more types of trials that we can endure. Now, when these things happen, it's only natural for some to ask, "Well, now, why did this happen to these precious little children?" Well, we just don't know. I mean, that's the confusing part. And furthermore, we don't know the pain that others are going through in their circumstances. Yet again, if only God would have appeared and simply said, you know, fear not, I am with you. I am still in control. And so anything he could say would really help. Well, I know this can be a bit confusing for some, because when we read through the scriptures, we notice various places through the scriptures, we notice that God is always talking to men and women, you know, throughout the history. You know, when Peter was thrown into prison, an angel appeared to tell him everything's going to be okay. God spoke words of comfort to Abraham. Paul was no stranger to God's input. You know, and when we see this, it somehow doesn't seem quite fair. And our faith would be a whole lot stronger too if every time we come upon hard times or serious illness, that an angel from God would show up to comfort us. But that way doesn't seem to work for some of us. And so there you have it, frustration. Now, for those who believe in God, his silence makes problems more difficult to endure, because our belief includes a God who has presented himself as being a loving Father. So when difficult times come upon us and there's only silence, our beliefs can come under attack, raising questions in our mind. And with questions, doubts can set in. Then more than ever, we need a word from God yet. And so often, there's only silence. Now, you may be one of the singles in the church that desires to have a mate. You've done your best to remain faithful to your beliefs. You're committed to waiting on God. But nothing's happening. So it wouldn't be unusual if you have begun to wonder if there's anything to this thing called waiting on God. Which reminds me of the postcard, I think some of you have seen past years, that shows a buzzard sitting on a branch, and he's looking down with a very disgusted look on his face. The caption reads, "Patience, phooey, I'm going to go out and kill something." Yeah, I know the feeling. So there are some who have lost their employment and are in very deep financial straits. And so you pray and pray and pray some more. You're willing to do whatever. Your situation is getting critical, but God doesn't seem to be saying or doing anything. Maybe you're dealing with the illness or death of a loved one or some other mishap that has taken you by surprise. You do the best that you can to make yourself believe that God has a purpose in it, that he hasn't abandoned you. But with the passage of time, you might wonder, have I fallen out of grace with God? Or maybe he's just not interested in me anymore. Or worse, maybe there is no God. Does he really exist? So as the days and the weeks and the months and sometimes even years roll by, your faith slowly begins to wane. If God would just say something, anything. Now, I can relate to those who find it difficult to trust God during hard times, you know, knowing the stress, the despair, and the frustration and the darkness that seems to hover over us, wondering if God truly cares anything at all for us. Once, while giving directions to my house, my home, I told the person, you know, when you get close, look over in that direction, you see a black cloud, I live under it. Well, there are those days, and some of you know what I'm talking about. With my years in the church and my involvement in Alcoholics Anonymous 30 years ago, I have spent a good portion of my adult life encouraging people to hang in there, to pursue God and his righteousness, and to obey God. And to the many people in AA, I tell them to seek God as they understand him, to have, and for all of us, regardless of where, to have a spiritual walk with God is, for all of us, a lifelong learning process. Yet I can acknowledge the fact that it seems at times more difficult to trust God than it is to obey Him. And while reading and studying the scripture, we can come to see that the inspired word of God, and we know this, God is rational and reasonable. And there are times, though, that in our circumstances in which we must trust God, that can appear irrational and unexplainable. Now, we have come to believe the law of God and His inspired word are good for us, even while we're having an attitude when we don't want to obey Him or trust Him. Obeying is worked out within the boundaries of God's word, but when we come to trusting God, now that's something else. It's worked out in an arena that has no boundaries, because we do not know the extent, the duration, or even the frequency of the pain and adverse circumstances in which we must trust God. We're always coping with the unknown. Remember Solomon said in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, he says, we don't know what a day may bring forth. And I read somewhere, and you've probably heard this before, someone once describing life as being like a thick curtain that's hanging down in front of you. And, you know, this is pretty easy to visualize. You have this curtain, and as you take a step, it moves a little bit, slowly and slowly. You know, and none of us can tell what events a day or hour may bring forth into our lives, and sometimes the receding curtain reveals things pretty much as we hoped they would be. But it can also reveal circumstances or events that are unexpected, happenings that can fill our hearts with anxiety, frustration, heartache, and grief. No, we're not immune to such things. In fact, when we look around, it can seem as though those of us that know God and, you know, believe in Him, that we're having more severe and more frequent trials than those people that don't have any understanding of who God is. And the problem with hardship and pain is as old as the history of men, and we can look back throughout the years of, well, particularly in Scripture, of all the critical times that have come upon the Israelites and so forth. Now, Paul tells us in Romans 8, and verse 20 to 22, he says, even creation itself has been subjected to frustration and groans, as in the pain of childbirth. So when the sky falls in, it's only natural to think, where is God in all of this? You know, it's not always easy for some to trust God during hard times. And I certainly don't know of anybody that enjoys pain. When it comes upon us, we want to be relieved of the pain as soon as possible. And we can remember when Paul pleaded with God three times to take away the thorn in his flesh. Of course, there's in Genesis 40, you remember the story of Joseph when he asks the Pharaoh's cupbearer, you know, to get me some help to get me out of here. And the cupbearer apparently was in agreement, but then when he left, he forgot all about Joseph. And you know the rest of the story. In Hebrews 12:11, we're told that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And trusting God is a discipline. It is important to trust God as it is to obey Him. And when we choose, and it is a choice, when we choose to disobey His authority, we make light of His holiness, and when we fail to trust God, we can even begin to doubt His sovereignty and question His love for us. And when we do that, we are getting on very dangerous ground. So it's time to pay attention to what we're thinking, because it is in our thoughts. And in both cases, we cast aspirations upon His magnificence, His majesty, His character, and His omnipotence. Yeah. Thank you. I was running out of spit. Well, back up. Trusting God is no simple matter. You know, God takes it very seriously. He views our distrust of Him as seriously as He views disobedience. In Psalm 79, verses 19 to 22, we see where the people of Israel were hungry and speaking mockingly and derisively against God. And they were saying, well, can God spread a table in the desert? Or can He supply meat for His people? The next two verses tell us, when the Lord heard them, He was very angry, for they did not believe in God or trust in His deliverance. Since accepting Christ as my Savior many years ago, John said it was in the mid-1800s, I forget exactly when it was. I can look back to the countless times that He has been there for me and my family. Many, many times. In these past 4.5 years of silence regarding Joe's health has been a hard test. But do I doubt His love for us? No, never. Because I know better. I've said it before and I'll keep on saying it. If God knows what Joe and I are going through, and what some of you are going through, and He's allowing this to happen, then it has to be okay somehow. Now, I don't pretend to understand how God works. It's mysterious for sure. You see, Joe and I have been together for 54 years. And you could say that we're joined at the hip. That's true. And you know, when I think of losing her, it's just about more than I can cope with. And if I allow my mind to get on it, it is just a weight comes upon my chest so hard that it's sometimes hard to breathe. And it's not uncommon these days where I get angry with God, because this is my wife. If it were me with the cancer, well, it wouldn't be pleasant, but I could accept it. And you husbands know, I hope, begin to realize what you would feel if you were in the same predicament. Now, I talked with Mr. Luker on the way out to the airport on Thursday, and yeah, he said that he has a very strong love for his wife. And we've talked about these things before, and he said he just can't begin to imagine what it's going to be like. But I'm going to do everything I can, physically and spiritually, and even in my attitudes, I am very grateful that God understands. Because can we imagine what He must have gone through during Christ's scourging and crucifixion? This was His only Son whom He had just a tremendous love for, and watching Him suffer excruciating pain. Does He know what we're going through? Oh yeah, definitely. In Lamentations 3, verse 37 and 38, we're told, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? And in the same chapter, verses 32 and 33, Jeremiah wrote, though He brings grief, He will show compassion, so great is His unfailing love. For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Well, the fact that we're human, it wouldn't be unusual for someone to ask, well, if God isn't doing this willingly, then why is He doing it? Well, the answer is, we don't have the comprehension of what God is doing. You know, we know that he's working with us, we're going to develop character and ultimately the kingdom. But that's from here to over there, and there's a path that we must take. And we just simply don't comprehend his ways. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out." Now, Paul was acknowledging, and we must acknowledge if we are going to trust God. God's ways of working out his plan are frequently beyond our comprehension. I think we all agree to that. And we must learn to trust him even when we don't understand. Now, looking back, you know, from my birth until I left home, my dad would often promise, we're going to do something. So he would say, well, on this day or date, whatever, we're going to go over there and we're going to have lots of fun, or whatever it was. And as a child, I'd get all pumped up about it. Oh, boy, I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm really hanging on to it. But when that day came, he either forgot about it or there was something else in the way and we didn't do it. This happened time after time after time. And then finally, when I got in my old, in my teens, when he would say that, I would just simply dismiss it because it never happened. You know, it's amazing that after all these years, in my time in the church, that this would come out of the depth of my subconscious where I thought that I had this memory securely buried. But we know that buried experiences can pop up and confound our relationship and our trust in God. It's our responsibility to become convinced of, and that means that we know God's truth, so that we can learn to trust him in the midst of whatever we're going through, in whatever form it may take. Now, it doesn't matter whether our pain is trivial or traumatic, temporary or without end. Regardless of the nature of our circumstances, we must learn to always trust God in them. And I know that it's easier said than done. Now, a couple of minutes ago, I mentioned Joseph. And if anything is clear from the story of Joseph, it's this. God's silence is in no way indicative of his involvement in our lives. He may be silent, but he is never still. And we mistakenly assume that since we are not hearing anything, he must not be doing anything. We judge God's interest and involvement in our lives, but you know, it comes through our feelings, our emotions, and but what we see and what we hear. And when we do that, we are really placing ourselves at a disadvantage. Are we judging God's involvement in our lives by how favorable or unfavorable our circumstances are? You know, when everything is going on smoothly and there's no problems, the money's coming in, so forth, we have no doubt that God is with us. He's watching over us. But as soon as we're beset with problems, we think, why don't you do something? His working in our lives can't be judged by the nature of our circumstances. His interest is in the development of our character and the fulfillment of his plan. Back to Joseph, you remember he spent 13 years facing problems of every description. And God was with him every step of the way. It was through Joseph's experiences that God was able to accomplish his will. And we need to understand that he may use similar tactics to accomplish his will in our lives as well. So what are we to do in the meantime? The answer is simple, though, as we know, not necessarily easy. Trust God. Now, that answer may be a little bit simplistic for your circumstances, but let's consider the options. If we're not going to trust God, what are we going to do? Take things in our own hands? That's like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. And in my time in the church, you know, now, please take my word for it. Don't do it. It's not the way. I've been there and tried that, and I certainly don't recommend it. Don't try to do it your way. Furthermore, when have you ever turned your back on God's plan for you and come out a winner? It's something to think about. Again, we admit that Joseph was an amazing man. Think of the circumstances. He had no one. His family wasn't with him. Certainly no freedom, no money. He literally had nothing. And yet, with no apparent answers from God, he remained faithful. And so did his Heavenly Father. When God is silent, we have only one reasonable option, and that is to trust him, to hang in there, wait on him. Now, he may be silent, but I can tell you this, he hasn't quit on us, and he certainly has nothing to explain.